This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
When you're on.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Kevin Kelly here. It's the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation. Your website is placetobenation.com. It is becoming a destination for me, that's for sure. There's so much goodness on this site. And there's, boy, what a special time of year. What a great time to be alive, to be in wrestling, to be involved in it. I think things are really looking up. And we'll talk about that later on in the hour. There's so much to be thankful for in 2014. Our guest is going to be Dr. Tom Pritchard, my great friend. He's coming back for part two in just a little bit. And we've got some fun and excitement along the way. Ring of Honor, of course, gearing up for Final Battle on Sunday, December 7th, live on pay-per-view. And it is, when we go back to pay-per-view, I'm interested to see how this one does, because I really wonder, is the WWE doing all that they can with the network and making kind of pay-per-view obsolete? I wonder. I know Ring of Honor doesn't talk about numbers. They said Best in the World did good, surprisingly good. So will Final Battle also be surprisingly good? Will it be an improvement? I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But is WWE doing all that they can to grab those Survivor Series watchers and to make them consistent viewers with this, you know, free month, I guess, of the WWE network? And how is that going to equate to business in December and January and February and beyond? But I think what we are seeing is a shift in professional wrestling right now. And I really think that the fan wins, regardless of the company that you like or you support, because you've got the network and the WWE, plus all the hours of free television that they put on every week. You've got TNA signing a new deal to be on Destination America. You've got Ring of Honor not only on Sinclair Broadcast Group-owned stations all across the United States. You could watch the show through ROHWrestling.com. Plus, you also get pay-per-view in its traditional format. Not only that, now New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to be airing on AXS TV in 2015, Access TV, and that's, of course, the former HDNet. So New Japan doing a 13-episode series, and you've got the Lucha Underground program on El Rey. There is a plethora of wrestling on television these days, but all of that notwithstanding, with so much on TV, there are more people attending live events than there were last year. Wrestling attendance is up. Ring of Honor's attendance has been up every show than previous. So, like, let's say a couple weeks ago, we were in San Antonio. The San Antonio attendance was up from the last time we were in San Antonio. We were in Baltimore last Saturday. Baltimore attendance last Saturday was up than the last time we were in Baltimore, and it's the same venue. It's not a building change or anything like that. So I think when you look at that, and plus I know like the Young Bucks and the Hardys, they've been touring and doing a lot of different independent things, and they've talked about how the houses are up. Attendance in New Japan is at levels that they have not seen in many, many years. Ring of Honor, New Japan, we'll see what TNA does. I don't know what their plans are. I know that they're going to go back, and we're going to talk about this later on, I'm sure, live event. How are they going to do in the Hammerstein Ballroom? How is their business model going to change? They have an opportunity, though, to really renew and to get started. And the WWE, when you watch the TV show on Mondays or Thursday, Friday, whatever night SmackDown is on, man, there's a lot of people in the attendance. And it's not what it was, but it is still good. And there is so much out there. We have so much to be thankful for as wrestling fans. And I'm partially thankful for my producer, JR. JR, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm happy. I'm thankful for you.
Thank you.
I'm thankful
for
Dan.
I'm glad you're happy.
Thankful for Dan McGinn.
He's okay.
Well, I know. But we'll talk. We've got a lot of show. We've got Dr. Tom coming up. It's episode 23. Before we get to our pal Tom, why don't we can you take a moment and let everybody know where they could find the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week?
Don Mattingly, episode 23. You can find the Kevin Kelly Show any of the following ways. You can visit PlaySubmission.com, clicking on the Kevin Kelly Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. You can subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes or visit Stitcher.com. Subscribe to the Place to Be podcast there or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone and iPad. Also, you can now find a special ROH edition of the show exclusively at ROHWrestling.com. Now, be sure to follow us on social media, Twitter at @place2bnation, @RealKevinKelly. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/place2bnation. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, email us at kevinkellyshow@place2bnation.com. Keep listening. Spread the word. Tell your friends. We love you. And now, speaking of people we love, Kevin Kelly welcomes in the good doctor, Tom Pritchard.
Well, because, you know, we are so thankful for so many things in our lives, and that's kind of the theme of tonight's show. I wanted to welcome back the guest that got more positive praise and feedback than any of the others that we've had in the first 22 episodes. And we've had big stars in the show. We've had Diamond Dallas Page. We have Matt Hardy. We have AJ Styles. But our guest now had more positive feedback from his interview than any other, and that's our pal Dr. Tom Pritchard. Tom, welcome back to the Kevin Kelly Show.
This is the only place I get positive feedback, so I wanted to come back, man. Thank goodness.
Well, listen, you told everybody where you came from the first time around, and I think the audience really just enjoyed the journey that you took them on, and, you know, we're thankful for so many things. How has your perspective, as you've gotten older, and how has everything kind of changed for you over the years, like the way you were, say, in 1984, the way you were in 1994, the way you were in 2004, as opposed to how you are now?
Well, you know, I think it's it goes with every era, every generation, and you don't realize it until you actually go through it. That you heard your dad and the older guys say, you know, you kids today don't know music. You kids today don't know what wrestling really was, you know, back in my day, kid. And I always, when I heard that, I used to cringe because it was like, you know, it's not your day anymore. It's our day. And then all of a sudden our day passes and it's a new day and it's their day again. I still love a lot of things I loved back in 84, 94 and 2004, but with the luxury of experience or the hardship of experience under my belt. None of us see things the way we used to, I believe. But I do think that for all the changes that have taken place, not just in my life, but in everybody's life, in professional wrestling and sports entertainment, there's a lot to be thankful, a lot to be grateful for. Even though I may not be a part of WWE anymore, I think they've got some really good stuff going on right now. And I think while I may not always agree 100% with the way they go about things, what they're going about has a lot of validity and merit to it as far as making things better, more entertaining, and a lot better for everybody involved. So I'm grateful for the fact that a lot of things have improved and evolved. And I'm also grateful for the fact that I'm still here and get to watch it.
Is it hard for you to watch wrestling as a fan? Even though you are a fan of wrestling, is it hard for you to just put the fan hat on 100% and just watch wrestling for sheer enjoyment?
Yeah, it really is. I can't. I mean, I watch it, and I know Here's how I know that it's different for me. I remember watching and getting that feeling, and the only feeling I can describe it as, knowing that you're watching something that moves you and excites you and you're passionate about it. And I remember seeing that feeling when I was a kid growing up, or having that feeling when I was a kid watching wrestling. So when I get it these days, I know I'm still very, very much a fan of the sport and the business of it. So, I mean, I can't just sit back and go, let me take that back. I can sit back and enjoy it, but I also sit back and try and wonder what's next. And that's just something that I've been doing that for so long, I can't stop doing that. So as far as being a fan and just sitting back and not thinking anything else about why they did something, I'm finding myself unable to do that these days.
And one of the reasons why I ask you that is because the very famous Syracuse University basketball coach, Jim Boeheim, he just recently wrote a book, and he's been doing a press tour, is getting ready for the new season and to promote the book and stuff. And he was on, I think it was either ESPN or CBS Sports Radio, and they asked him basically the same question. You still watch a lot of basketball as a fan? He says, yes, I love watching basketball. You can watch it without putting your coach's hat on? He says, yes, I have the ability to do that, to just watch the game from the pure enjoyment of it. And I find, I'm like you, I find it very difficult to not have my producer hat on or not have my announcer hat on. And I would imagine that for you, part of it is because you spend so much time now working and training and developing and doing camps and things like that, that really you just, it's hard for you to probably look beyond the X's and O's.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with when I see something happening, I'm imagining how it came about and what was said when it was being presented. Because especially when it comes across really horrible, I'm trying to think of, well, somebody had to present it, somebody had to pull it off, and if it came off like this, then it was I don't think somebody came and said, hey, let's do this horrible segment, but that's kind of what I think about. You know,
I've got an idea that's a real stinker.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, that? Yeah.
How about let's get the lowest ratings of ever? You know, but I don't know. Sure. Yeah, I do sit here while I enjoy it. I still have to think about why. And that's just because I'm trying to figure out the process that went into it.
What was harder for you? Is it training guys or was it being an agent for matches?
Oh my God, being an agent. Just having to, I wish I could say I was that creative, but I'm really not. I can give you a finish. And I can get the simple basic finish and the elements down, but some guys have this incredible knack for just being so creative and knowing how to put everything together where it fits and to come up with these tremendous ideas. I never was that good. Michael Hayes, for all his imperfections, is excellent at producing and doing things like that. So I wish I could, but I couldn't. So I think training is a little easier and more enjoyable for me anyway.
When you were competing, and I would imagine probably every territory was different, was there how were they set up in terms of like, okay, so and so is going to give you the business of the match? How was that set up, and was any of it left up to you guys for your own interpretation?
Well, it was always left up to the guys for interpretation, but in the territories, we had a booker, and we didn't have writers back then. It seems so foreign now, obviously.
How did they get by without Hollywood washed out writers, you know?
Exactly, man. It just, how in the world could you ever work like that? But, the thing is, you had one guy with a vision for the territory, and whether it was the same guy who owned the territory, it didn't matter. You guys worked hand in hand, if not, to try and draw as much money as you can. And it was up to the booker to go to each match, or have the referee or have his assistant go to each match and let the guys know what they wanted and what was expected. And if you had a better idea, and it was only later on in my career that I even started suggesting things, because I didn't want to, I didn't have a lot of great ideas, obviously, but I believe in it. The Booker was always open for ideas if he was a smart guy, because you might have a better idea or you might have something to add to it. And these days, as many of us know, it's you know, you have 16 riders and a vision, but it just might take a little longer to get that vision just the way you want it, and trickle down from all the people you has to trickle down to get it right.
Because really, there's only one. I mean, in the WWE, there's only one guy whose opinion matters, and that's Vince, right? And there's
but
there's 16
know,
writers and producers and blah 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 and agents, and none of them have any. They're not willing to go to the wall for any of their own ideas for fear of getting in trouble and losing their job. Correct.
Okay, well, that you correct very 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 much so. But as you're, as a lot of us and you especially are very aware of, Vince can change his mind anywhere from, you know, 2 to 20 times during the day, and by the end of the day and the show's on the air, he might have approved something that he forgot about and go ballistic when it happens. So, there's a lot of elements that that are very good about it today and not so good about it today. So,
who were some of your favorite guys to work for back in the territory days? You know, and I know kind of in the nomadic life, I'm sure you cross paths with so-and-so in different territories, but who were some of the people that really stood out that you really enjoyed working for?
You know, there was a guy that I met when I first started by the name of Buck Robley.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever meet Buck?
I never met him, but I certainly know his work. You can see his fingerprints on some different things as time progressed.
Yeah, and Buck didn't always have the best reputation, but he was a good guy to me, and I really enjoyed working for him in San Antonio, and I worked for him a couple shots when I first started. Tom Renesta was an interesting fella. He was a smart guy about the business as far as booking.
And, what are you doing? Are you sharpening pencils? What is that noise?
It's not my noise. There's no noise where I'm at.
No, you sure?
Yeah, I'm a little sure, Kevin. I'm right here. I'm not sharpening pencils today, I tell you.
I don't know what it is, but it's like something that's going on. Anyway, so
hey, man, listen, whatever you're smoking, just share it around the
whatever table. You're doing it. Hey, let me ask
I got
you
a great joke. You want to hear?
No, don't tell any of your terrible jokes.
All right, good.
When the check to make sure it's not your headset, because I think your headset's wobbling around.
I don't have a headset on, but you're a headset.
No? All right. Well, don't get upset. But did Tom Renesto, was he the one that he kind of was like, he seemed to be a I guess by reputation, more of a pessimist, right? He was always sort of fatalistic and realizing that he was probably going to get fired at some point.
No, I don't think so. Tom Renesto Sr. was one half of the assassins, Jody Hamilton, and he was very smart. He knew how to put finishes and matches together, but at the same time, he was one of those old con men. And so you knew you could only believe not even half of what you were told, but he was very interesting. And one of those, the old school guys that I like being around, just as far as being a booker. And, you know, I like Bill Dundee as a booker too, quite honestly. He was interesting. And real quick, two of my favorite bookers in the whole wide world have to be Robert Fuller and Bullet Bob Armstrong. So, you know, just on entertainment alone, Robert was great when he had the book, because he knew what he wanted to do, but by the time he got to the town, he didn't have a clue. So,
did he? Now he and the Bullet would flip flop.
Yeah, Bullet would take it. Ron would take it. Robert would take it. And when one wanted, usually it was they divided it up during the year, and in Pensacola or Alabama, and then when one got burnt out or tired of it, they pretty much switched. So, it was pretty much the tone of what was going to happen was depending on who had the book at the time. Robert was a little more easygoing. Leeway was, he had a lot of leeway. Ron had a little more structure. Bob had structure, but he also gave you some leeway. So,
and I know that like when Jerry Lawler would have the book, it would be a much bigger presentation with more guys on the payroll. And then when Dundee would take over, the territory would make more money because payroll was smaller. Because there were smaller, well, fewer guys, right?
That too, but also when Lawler had the book, you could count on Frankenstein or Freddy, yeah, or, you know, Freddy Krueger and things like that. You know, the Loch Ness Monster to come in and things like that. So, and Dundee tried to make it a little more, I don't want to say competitive, because in Memphis, it was certainly, it was a place like no other. Let's say that. But
I think we talked about this the last time you were on, when I saw some footage of you on YouTube, or maybe that was just one of our conversations. I was watching some Memphis stuff, and there was you kicking the crap out of poor Jackie Fargo. I mean, that just was not right. It was
What? There's a lot of things I've done in my life that aren't right, but I'm still living. So there you go.
And you say that because Jackie Fargo's dead.
That's true. Because I think after that beating, just like Thunderbolt and Lightfoot, I just saw that the other night, and Jeff Bridges got the living crap knocked out of him, and he you know, had a stroke afterwards with Clint Eastwood. If you haven't seen the movie, see it, Thunderbolt and Lightfoot.
That's an old one. I got to check that out. Because I used to call that Thunderbolt Patterson and Lightfoot.
Hey, stop it.
I did, I swear. Yeah. Carino gets mad every time I bring up Thunderbolt, because he actually told Caprice Coleman, who's on the Ring of Honor roster, that he likes Caprice a lot, but he's not a big fan of Carino. And so apparently they had words one time at an autograph show or something like that. Oh,
Thunderbolt told that to Carino?
To Caprice. Yeah, Caprice Coleman is, you know, a North Carolina guy. So somewhere along the way, Thunderbolt got word to Caprice that, hey, I really like that young man. I want to say hi to him sometime, probably trying to get a job. And So I put Caprice over every chance I get, or I put Thunderbolt over on TV every chance I get, and it just drives Carino nuts.
Ah, well.
I love doing it.
Yeah. Well, you know about the pirate who walked into the psychiatrist's office with a steering wheel down his pants, right?
What now? The pirate walked into a psychiatrist's office?
With a steering wheel down his pants.
What happened then?
Well, the psychiatrist said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Why do you have that steering wheel down your pants?" And the pirate says, it's driving me nuts."
Dun-dun-dun.
Okay, thank you.
Hey,
another one about Missouri. If you want to hear it,
No, we're not doing that. We don't do topical humor here. How about so we were talking about bookers and people that you had the chance to work with. Was Ole Anderson as miserable a person as he is reported to be?
Not to me, and not back then. I don't think he was that mean back. Well, he might have been to the top guys, but I worked with Ole a couple times, and he was always nice to me. I just saw him in August in Charlotte, and he didn't remember me for. He didn't remember half the people, or well, 90% of the people. But he was nice to me as long as you came in and did your job back then, and you weren't a major disruption. I don't think anybody had any big problems. You know, guys who caused trouble and guys who didn't seem to know how to get there on time might have had a little bit different issues. You know, and Bill Watts was a perfectionist, but Bill Watts always had a booker, and Watts oversaw everything. But at that time, you know, you in that time, that era, all you had to do was show up to the arena at least an hour ahead of time. Can you imagine that? Getting there an hour ahead of time and being able to go in the ring and do your match and not have to rehearse and be there 12 hours ahead of time and, you know, have a script and stuff like that.
That's what drove all of you guys crazy, because a lot of us, you know, some of us that came, like, you know, the territories were dead when I started, but it was just, you know, little independent things. But some people, that's all they know, to show up at the building at 11, 12 o'clock during the day, and then Raw didn't go on the air until, say, 9 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock now, but we would start at 7:30, so we're there at the building for 8 or 9 hours before we even did anything. It was torture.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, I just it was so foreign when it first started. I mean, it was great that you were there and everything was happening. You know, didn't have to go anywhere. You had catering, and if you needed to go over a match, you know, that's great. But I remember not having to go over all that much in a match. You just go out there and work. So
go figure.
That was a lot better for me back then.
I compete in a fantasy football league, by the way, and I'm in first place, I'll have you know. And one of the teams in my league is called the Gigolo Jimmy Del Reyes.
Hot dang it. That's great.
Yep. How about that?
You know what? And you are first place?
Yes, I am.
Well, who named him the Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey?
This piece of crap named Ben Gordon, who I hate.
Oh,
no, he's a good kid. I just torture him all the time. So.
Of course you do. Well,
hey, when you would go from place to place and territory to territory, I know one of the things that, like, in the WWE, you're always worried about getting heat. Oh, the new guy didn't want to get heat. He wants to make sure he does this or does that. Well, there were a bunch of those stupid, like, unwritten rules and all that, you know, nonsense.
Yeah, it was always like that, man, because it was always that kind of business. It was, and I think I mentioned this before, it's always been a cliquish business, and some guys didn't mind getting heat, but other guys, you know, you didn't want to get heat because you want to stick around for a little while, you want to make some money, and I think back in the territory days when you had one booker and no writers, it was that outlaw spirit. It was that life. And you had guys like Bruiser Brody who comes to mind because I was talking to someone who was asking me about Bruiser Brody and why he got over so much or so well. It was because Bruiser Brody was Bruiser Brody. Frank Goodish became who everyone believed he was because Bruiser believed that's who he was. And he could be a bit of a bully. He could be intimidating and he could be mysterious and he could be exactly who people perceived him to be. And guys like that couldn't exist necessarily in a corporate environment today because they weren't corporate people. They were guys who lived on the road and went in the ring and did barbaric things. Although it was in a working manner most of the time, you know, they would go for a guy. Bruiser Brody would work for Buck Robley. They were two guys who could count on each other. If Buck had the book, he could call Brody and bring him in and draw money. And that made Buck a hero because he had the connections. And that's what it was back then too with bookers. They had connections with guys and were friends with people that could call and ask for favors. And it was a different mindset, a different era, and a different way of doing things, man. So those days with the bookers were some good days. But there's more money now, and you get to be on video games, and you get to be on three-hour TV shows, and you get to do a lot of good stuff that we didn't get to do back then. But you also don't get much good stuff like we got to do back then.
Right.
Yeah.
What with all that wellness and whatnot they got going on now.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So, anyway. Was that, I know the idea of, you know, in the changing times, the adjustments that you had to make in your career as you began that pivot away from competing and what became coaching, did you have any idea when you were, you know, going from place to place that you would wind up where you wound up?
No, not at all. In fact, I never envisioned wrestling in Madison Square Garden, much less even wrestling for the WWWF back then. So, I kind of hoped and wished and dreamed about what I would do afterwards, but also you got to understand, the Sheik didn't stop wrestling when he was in his 60s. He kept going. And I'll never forget Kevin Sullivan and I making trips. And Kevin, he said it on more than one occasion. He wanted to be like the Sheik and wrestle up until, you know, he was 65. And I remember at 33 thinking, oh, my God, I don't want to wrestle when I'm 65. But yet I'm 55 and I'm still wrestling. And I'm asking myself every time I go out, why? Why? And then I get back and I figure out, oh, yeah, that's why. And I also figure out why I don't want to wrestle as well.
It's
silly and crazy out there these days, by the way. It really, well, really is.
What makes it silly and crazy? What are some of the things? I'm sure there's more than one thing, but what are some of the things that make it silly and crazy?
I was sitting in a place Friday night, and I'll say it because I have to be honest. I'm in McDonald, Tennessee. Are you familiar with McDonald, Tennessee? Of course
I am. I've not heard of McDonald, Tennessee.
Yeah, I hadn't either. But as I'm watching, the fellow standing in front of me has the future written on his black leather, or I don't know if it's leather, but it's supposed to look like leather jacket.
Mm-hmm.
The future.
Sounds good so far.
Oh, my goodness. And he has the one side of his leg is covered in the long tights. The other one is the short, tight leg. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you've seen those.
Yeah, I love it.
Yes, yes, yes. And I go out, or he goes out, and I watch this, and the future is, oh my gosh, you know, and I look at it, and I wanted to go up and ask him, why do you call yourself the future? But I didn't get a chance. But backstage, you know, we had his girlfriend backstage.
Oh. You
know, mama's got to be there, and she's there, and she's about, oh, gosh, just they're talking about the match. And she doesn't wrestle, but she's there to support old Bubba or the future, whatever his name is. I look at it, and I just – that's what it's become. And believe that's going to be something or turn into something. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but it's just so silly and ridiculous to where you look at it and go, I understand because I was in their shoes. I loved the business. I wanted to do it. But I also understood a good show from a bad show and a real show from a not real show. And that was play wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and they would play wrestling, and then when I'm sitting back there, I'm going, God, wait a minute, I'm right here with them. So it's sad and kind of funny at the same time. I have to laugh because I'll cry if I don't.
I know. All right, so you've got all the money in the world, Tom, and the WWE is for sale. Would you buy it?
No. No, no, no.
Now, wait a minute. Now, this is the biggest, largest, most profitable wrestling company, sports entertainment company that they're ever done been.
Right.
For the longest period of time. Why
best
would you
in the whole wide world. Yeah.
Why would you not buy it?
Because I have enough headaches as it is, man. You're buying, you're not just buying the biggest, largest, greatest whole wrestling business, sports, entertainment in the world. You're buying all that goes with it, from the headaches to everything else. And I'm not that interested in inheriting any headaches. I've got enough. I watch it. I haven't had a whole lot of time lately, but from what I've seen, they have some good stuff. They really do. But here's exactly what I thought. I didn't get a chance to see Survivor Series, but when I heard Sting made his debut, they blew their wad. Now what? Yeah. They did it. They've committed. They're pregnant. Right. Now what? Because there ain't nobody after Sting. After Sting, everybody's been there. Everybody's been signed. We finally got him. Okay, now you got him. He's there. Now what? Okay, we've seen him. Now what? So, I mean, I don't doubt that they have some genius people around them, but now they need to get cooking on the next Austin. They need to get cooking on the next Rock. They need to find who that next superstar is, and I don't see it. I mean, but that doesn't mean it's out there. Not out there. I mean, I'm sure it is. It's just a matter of time.
I've been very critical on this show, on every interview I've ever done, of John Laurinaitis. Because I look at him in terms of a professional sports general manager who, you know, hired and fired over 150 guys that never, you know, did anything. And he was not really held responsible for the failings of the organization. Was he as dismal in his role as I put him to be? I mean, I think he's one of the all-time worst in history.
Well, here's my take on it. I'll tell you how I feel. As far as being the worst at what he did, I think he was terrible on the level of facing reality. He didn't. If the truth wasn't easy, or going to be something easy to face or nice to face, he wouldn't face it or tell it. And that really kind of...
Well, that's a nice way of saying he's a liar.
Well, okay, he's a friggin' liar. yeah, he is. But in that spot, in that position, it's hard, yeah. I guess, for some guys to be honest, because it's not... If you have morals, wrestling's not the place to be. And you know, John didn't have any trouble skirting the truth or flat out lying to your face, because the last thing I heard was John didn't say this. He sent it through a message that, hey, if there's anything to worry about, I'll call you and let you know. And 2 weeks later, of course, the fact was I wasn't there anymore. But it wasn't his responsibility. It was mine. And there's other people that he's done that to. He just was not real. I don't know that he could pick out talent to groom. He knew how to put finishes together and things like that. But it does take a keen eye to look at talent and give him an opportunity. And I don't know that John knew how to do that.
One of the frustrating things for me, and then became your frustration too, was in that kind of that talent relations, but also really kind of feeding guys in the developmental system type of thing. As the role went on, I felt a lot more comfortable with the developmental groups. With, you know, at the time they had Memphis and OVW. I felt more comfortable with that than I did with having to deal with any of the main roster stuff, because I just really was able to focus on those young guys and get them up and running. I mean, is that sort of where your mind went toward? At least I could focus on helping these guys get somewhere, perhaps?
Yeah. But the frustration was in you had an idea and you saw one thing, but yet the office, a la John, saw something else. And it wasn't all the time, but it was pretty much most of the time. I would make a suggestion and he wouldn't follow through, or it fell through because John was trying to read Vince's mind on what he would like. Mm-hmm. And the days of I just remember, I'm not sure if you were there or not yet, when the days of mandating, okay, we're not going to take anybody under 6'2", 230 pounds.
Yeah.
Don't even tell me if they're 5'9", 5'10", even 6 foot. I want 6'2". Well, John, come on. I mean, that is stupid, ignorant, and that there again, that's silly, because you don't know. Eddie Guerrero never would have been hired if that was
right.
So mandated. And other guys wouldn't have been hired. And they've had stars. It didn't matter. But so many times, because Vince would make a comment like, hey, John, where are my big guys at? You know, he's making a comment and he'll be okay 5 minutes later, but John has to take that as a mandate. He's got to get some big guys in there. So if he was the all-time worst, I could see that, there were times I understood his plight. I understood he had a tough job. But there were also times I knew he was lying to my face. There was one time, I don't want to take up too much time, but there was one time when he wanted a fella in black trunks. They had an hour. We did a photo shoot in Tampa, got all the NXT guys together. And with an hour left, he calls and says, Vince wants this guy in black trunks. Okay. This guy was kind of a big guy, kind of a husky guy. And there weren't too many guys that had his size of black trunks because he wasn't wearing trunks at the time. He was wearing something else. This is 1 hour before the photographer's rich and those guys are going to pack up. Well, I call everybody. Everybody's off. They're at the beach. They're not answering the phones anyway. I get a hold of one guy who's about the same size, and he says, I'm coming back from the beach, but I have a pair of navy blue trunks in my truck. I can stop by and give them to you. I said, please. So he gets there literally with 20 minutes to go. I get him in the navy blue trunks. We do the shoot. I'm just thankful it happened. I don't call John back. I'm just thankful the day's over. The next morning, John calls and says, hey, did you get those black tights? I said, well, and I forgot that Rich told me that they would be able to fix it in the mix. Everything's fine. You know, we'll make them black. It's navy blue's close enough. Well, I told John, I said, we got navy blue. I said, what do you mean? What am I going to do until Vince, I couldn't get black trunks. He looks at these pictures. Why are they not black? I need can-do people. And hung up on me. Well, I forgot to mention before he hung up on me that Rich said it's okay. They'll fix it, you know, when they print them out.
Right.
But anyway, so he called Rich, and then he called me back and says, why didn't you tell me Rich said he could fix it? It's all right. Everything's good. Well, everything was good anyway, but he just had to be a dick. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he could be the best dick in the business at times.
Thankfully, I didn't have to work for him.
And thankfully, yeah. Well. And you know, here's the thing, too. John hired and then he fired me, but he hired me back. So, you know, I'm grateful for that. And once again, he's in an unenviable position, or he was in an unenviable position before Triple H kicked him out and took it. But he's still there because he's talented and knows how to do the finishes. But not everybody's going to like him all the time. So, and I liked him sometimes when he was being a jerk to me. But you know,
hey, on your Skype thing, there's two babies wrestling. One baby's shooting half, and the other baby's trying to counter arm drag the first baby over. What's the story with that?
That's a logo I got from Paul Bosch in Houston Wrestling. It's on my shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/Tom Pritchard if you want one. And you know, you get 20% off up until Black Friday, actually.
Well, wait a minute. You got them wanted shirts up there still?
I sure do. They're on Pro Wrestling T-shirts or prowrestlingtees.com/Tom Pritchard. And they're some good looking shirts. But hey, let me tell you this too real quick before we get cut off and I forget about this. In 2015, there's a brand new it's a show on the Roku. Are you familiar with the Roku system?
You mean Roku?
Yeah, whatever. Roku. Sure. Roku. Tomato, tomato. Come on, man.
I have Roku. I have Hulu. And I also have Netflix. So, yeah.
Well, on Roku, this coming 2015, there's going to be a new show out on Logan's World. That's the channel. And it's called The Office Visit with Dr. Tom Pritchard. And I got to tell you, yeah, we had some good episodes.
Are you in it?
Look, listen, I've got a good joke, okay?
No. We're going to have to go now, but thank you. Hey, you got to listen. JR, can you come in here real quick? Because I got a question that I want to help you ask.
What's up, Daddy?
Dr. Tom said he would love to come on your show and do stuff on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, he's been on our show, but we did talk about him doing a regular thing with PlaceToBeNation.com. Has that changed, Dr. Tom? You telling us on the air? You're breaking our hearts right now?
No. Let me explain something to you guys. Right. I'll tell you live and in living color. My time, I have no, almost zero time. It's like, by the time I'm getting home these days and even seeing my wife, like, she's not even here right now. She's taking care of some personal things as we speak. But we don't even start eating dinner till about 7 or 7:15 these days. So I just have had no time the last couple of weeks to do hardly anything. That's why I think you guys asked me to write something about 1994, or somebody asked me to write something about 1994. And I just have no time. Somebody asked me to write for one of the magazines, and I said yes at first. But then by the time I ate dinner and sat down and even checked my emails, it was 8:30, and I had no time. So
we're going to do this. We're gonna let you eat your dinner. We're going to let you settle through the holidays. And in January, we're going to kick off a podcast series with you. How about that? We're putting you on the spot right now on air, okay? So now you have to say yes.
No, that sounds great.
Because if not, great. I'll call Jimmy Del Rey.
Please call Jimmy. We got together. We got together in August in Charlotte. He looked big, but he was very good.
He looked big.
He did. He did. He looked very big. But I liked him.
Well, if your schedule, you know, when it settles down, you've got a home here on the Place to Be Nation, and myself and Steve Carino, this is our home, and we love it. And, you know,
let me tell you the cool thing real quick. Let me tell you the cool thing about Roku and the office visit with Dr. Tom. The cool thing is I got paid.
Yes.
Good.
Well,
so
listen,
that's where, but I understand that. I'd love to be on the podcast too. It's just, if I'm getting paid and I'm doing something else, I got to do that first. But that's just, and that's just me saying how much I love John Laurinaitis means absolutely nothing as well.
I know, but if you use the podcast as a vehicle to get everything else over, and
Kevin's got those Sinclair checks rolling in too, Dr. Tom. So work something out. He's got a lot.
Exactly. I swim in money. I have rolling. A pool.
I know you do.
It's a deep dollar pool. Bills. Very deep and pool. Just swimming in it. Hey,
you
got to
try
you
some soap with that money.
A lot of buoyancy. A lot of buoyancy.
Both of you, shut up. Tom, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Are you going to stay close to home? Are you traveling?
Well, I'm going to be home for Thanksgiving. Then I'm traveling the next day to the roast in Winston-Salem for Jim Cornette.
Oh, my gosh.
It'll be WrestleCade this weekend, actually. So I'm going to spend a nice Thanksgiving here with my wife. And then I'm going to travel to Winston-Salem. And how do you roast Jim Cornette? I mean, really, how in the world do you roast Jim Cornette?
See, that's the thing, because you get up there and you could have all this great material, right? And
yeah.
you get up and you zing like everybody else that's on the dais, and you really lob some salvos at Cornette. I mean, you just pickle him, right? And then he is going to get up there and he is going to take every joke that you have told, which killed, and it's going to be 10 times better.
Yeah.
And he's going to leave you in the dust.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be a smoldering pile of ash.
Do you have you worked on any material? Do you need some jokes? Because I need
everything. I've looked, but again, my time constraints haven't allowed me to really do anything. Plus, I haven't had a lot of sleep. So, I mean, I even asked him, I said, how do I do this, man? Because you're just going to kill us. And he said, no, it'll be easy. And I thought, well, all right, just let it come. Crank it and let it come. No, I need some jokes. I need everything.
I'm going to try. Send me the names of the people who are on the panel with you.
Ricky Robert, and that's it. Ricky Robert, Stan, that's it. And Bobby, that's all. We just got us. I don't know who's even on the die.
I'm sure Bill Apter will be there, right?
I guess.
He's usually at these things. And there's a bunch of hangers-on that'll be around there. You just
I think you need to fly in and just commence to taking over.
Well, I've got plans this weekend with my naval, and
I've
then there's
the tips of my shoelaces. So there,
my shoelace tips need a changing. So that's what I'm going to do this weekend.
When's the last time you did?
Seven. Wow. I'll tell you, 7 weekends in a row with Ring of Honor, and I'm worn out. I got
you. Yeah, you know what I'm saying, man. I did 6 hours on Saturday and 6 hours on Sunday of straight talking. And
Let me ask you this. How big would you be impressed if I was to land Dennis Stamp as a guest on this show?
Wow. Ooh, man.
It's looking like it might happen.
On the
spoiler, man. What the hell?
On the Cornette gimmick?
That's all right.
On this show.
Kevin Kelly on the Kevin Kelly show. It's something that we're working on.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I'll be impressed.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right. Well, listen, Dr. Tom, thank you so much for joining us here, and happy Thanksgiving to you and to Sandy and your family. I'm happy for you for everything the way your life is now, and I hope you have a great, safe weekend. Give Corny my best. Give him a big kiss from me, and next time when the office visit with Dr. Tom is ready to launch, we'll have you back on, and you can give us a little preview of that.
Yeah, it'll be great, man.
Okay.
I'm a good talker.
Right now. I'm a not talking really, machine. Look at you. Well, listen, you could have a, you know, I don't do every week here at the Place to Be Nation. I do every other week. I'm just saying, you could have this similar gig to mine. You could pick your night, pick your time. You could do it.
I'll do it. I'll do it for you guys next year. I just
there you go. Yeah. That is a contract, and JR, you've heard it.
Signed.
So mark that down. That is a done deal. Signed, sealed, delivered. All right, Dr. John, thank you so much.
You bet, guys. Happy Merry Christmas, Thanksgiving to you too.
All right, take care. All right, so that was Dr. Tom Pritchard right there. We've got to take a quick break. We've got a lot more. Very special Thanksgiving edition of the Kevin Kelly Show continues right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com.
Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant.
Sorry.
The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Parv. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear.
And I saw the surprise and the fear in his eyes. And I took his glass of champagne. I toasted you, said, honey, we may be friends.
Hey, we're back on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. Thanks once again to Dr. Tom Pritchard. And I really am convinced, JR, that we can get him to have a, you know, a regular spot here, a regular podcast in some schedule. You know what I mean?
Yeah, coming I think we can make it happen. Year. I think so. I have a good idea for it, too. So,
okay, great. Let's, you know... Survivor Series to me on paper was just a so-so show. It was, you know, Monday Night Raw on a Sunday. It just didn't have any juice or have any sizzle. But man, there was a lot of talk coming out from Sunday's show, huh?
And it seemed like that should have been their goal, right? I mean, I think that was their goal going in, get people talking and try and get people to hook up with the network. I thought the opener was good. Mizdow won in the tag titles. It was a really fun match. And Sandow as Mizdow has been phenomenal in that yes. role, in that gimmick. Really, really funny stuff. Really high-level work out of him. Ambrose and Wyatt was solid. I didn't care for the ending. I thought that was a little shaky. But the main event I thought was really, really good. I thought Dolph Ziggler, they finally really got behind him. They gave him a kind of a Shawn Michaels-esque coming back from Bam Bam Bigelow from Survivor Series 7, come back from 3-on-1 down to make the comeback and end up surviving and winning for his team. We had the debut of Sting, which was a really cool moment. A lot of fun watching that with Dan and our buddy the Cowboy Roger Morissette was here. It was a really cool moment. We were very excited to see the Stinger in the house.
Did you have any indication, because there were certainly rumors floating around, or did you stay kind of off the grid, as it were, to enjoy the show?
No, I had seen the rumors, so I knew he was going to be on. But when he hadn't come out yet, by the end, I was starting to just assume, okay, it was just another nonsense rumor. And Orton was the only guy that didn't show up that they said was going to be there. Reigns was there. They had promoted or kind of leaked out that he was going to be there. And then Sting showed. And I thought Sting's debut was strong. I was a little surprised they didn't have him on last night, though.
It seems like they left a little money on the table, I think. And it really, looking at his entrance video, they obviously have done a lot of pre-production work with him. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that they could just fly in some, they could just show his entrance video. They could show something. They could show highlights. They could have done something, right? Because there was no Sting really in the show, correct?
Not that I saw. Now, I can't say I watched a little show. We were recording, and I had some house stuff to get ready for Thanksgiving. So
a little busy last night on TV, if you're just a TV watcher.
Oh, so busy.
Jesus. I mean, between a hot Monday night football game mm-hmm. and the craziness in Ferguson, I was flipping back and forth between those two things after catching segment of Raw, back to football, then back to Ferguson, then back to football, then to Ferguson.
And I had all that going on. Plus, I had to watch the Saturday Night's Main Event because we did a live watch for a Place to Be podcast. So we watched the fourth ever Saturday Night's Main Event. So I had that going on, too. Trying to track the football games. And then, like I said, what was going on in Ferguson. And then I watched some Fryer-Ferguson matches. And then I went to bed. And it was my wife had fell asleep downstairs. And now that she's moving along in her pregnancy here, I usually try not to disturb her. Wherever she passes out, I let her be. So I went upstairs, laid in bed. Watched some of the Ferguson stuff, and then I threw on, like I had mentioned, the Dr. Tom thing. Was that off air or on air? I don't even know. I threw on Rock Bottom 98. I had you and him backstage doing some nonsense, and he had this ugly shirt, and you had your weird escotee. And I fell asleep, passed out. And, like, you know when you're in that weird spot where you're kind of asleep, but you're kind of awake, and you're fading, but when you get startled, you're really out of it? I heard, like, an odd rattle noise, and I jumped a mile, and it was my three-year-old daughter standing next to my bed looking at me, and she rarely wakes up during the night, and this is around like 1:15, and I almost shit a brick. It was like the poltergeist or something. You just wake up and you don't know what's going on, and then to see just a child staring you in the face next to your bed was just a holy shit moment for me last night.
And she was probably scarred for life now as well. Yes. After you jumped like that, she probably got scared.
I was like, what the? So then we finally got her back down. So anyway, end of story. Too long, didn't read. I am very tired.
Well, hey, listen, and is Survivor Series going in, like I said, this was kind of a on paper. Survivor Series, and I hear this from fans all the time, man, it used to be so great. Thanksgiving tradition. It used to be the most awesome thing, and now it's just another show. And it's become just another show, really just another show. And they've tried to do some things to sort of weave back in, like the 5-on-5 teams and things like that. But man, it was really, really good. And now it's, what do you think? Where does Survivor Series fit in for you?
I go back and forth because I feel like it has become kind of a blah show. Like off the top of my head, when I think about it, I'm like, it's not the same. But then when you kind of look at what they do every year, they still do use it as a big vehicle to either make a big debut or big splash. Remember 2011, they had Rock, his first match back in MSG. Like, that was a really big deal. And that's where I think also the same show, I believe, where Punk won the title to start his reign. 2012, The Shield debuted. And of course, down the line, Montreal, Undertaker debuted, Rock's Ascension 98. Like, it's always been kind of that vehicle for a big moment. And when you first think Survivor Series off the top of your head, you don't always remember that. And I think we saw it again this week with Sting coming back, this year's edition. So I feel like when you think about Survivor Series, it feels like it's not the same, like you said, that either Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve, that the Survivor match is, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like they still use it to have that big moment to launch them into Mania season.
And this is my favorite time now, once we get beyond December 25th and into January. This is my favorite time of the year for WWE because it's the tune-up for the Rumble, and then it's the road to WrestleMania. And to me, that's always the best.
Right.
I think it's always great.
Yep.
Survivor Series to me was always eh. I was always a Starrcade guy, though. Starrcade for me was it. I loved it. Again, 84 to 87, Jim Crockett Promotions. That was my wheelhouse, and those Starrcades were awesome. Don't ever say a bad word to me about them. I loved them. If I get the network, can I watch those?
Yeah, all the Starrcades are on there.
I got to get the network.
It's worth it. $9.99, I heard. See, Survivor Series was for me, but when I started watching 1990, they were just moving off Thanksgiving Day. So really, I only knew it more as a Thanksgiving Eve tradition.
Right. And that's a...
Which I liked better, because this is like the best week of the year. We're in it right now, right? I mean, you get a short work week.
Yep.
You know, tomorrow night, Wednesday night's one of the better nights of the year, kind of the anticipation for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's a great day, football, food, everything else, drinks. I always try to get the day off after, and I usually have my ninth annual day after Thanksgiving party or gathering. This year we're going out, and usually, you know, we'll alternate here and there. I'll either have it at my house or go out. It's just a great weekend. You know, it's a great long weekend. Always been one of my favorite weekends.
And I like it, too, with football because you got the rivalry games on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State, Alabama, Auburn. Those are always great. Where do you stand on Thursday night football? Are you good?
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, I do think it hurts. Like, I wish I could find a way to have it always be after a team's bye.
Right.
Because I feel like they're worn down and a lot of the games aren't as good. I think on Thanksgiving, I like it, having the three games. Because after that 4 o'clock game, a lot of times that Cowboys game is not always the most thrilling game, the 4 o'clock. So it's nice to have that night game to look forward to now, where in the past it just would have kind of been the end of the night.
The Lions game is going to be a dog. I'm not interested in them at all.
This is their chance to wake up. I mean, if they can't light up the Chicago D at home, then they got real problems.
It's, yeah, they just they're a snooze fest to watch. I tried watching that Miami game a couple of weeks ago. What a dog that was. But, you know, like the Monday night game last night, Baltimore and New Orleans, that was a slugfest. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a good game.
That was, you know, up and down the field and not much defense. And here we go. And they, you know, how many, what did they wind up? 34-27?
Yeah. I know the Saints got it to 7. Yep.
Right. It was a, you know, punch and kick brawl. I loved it.
Also, Kev, on this weekend, which makes it doubly great, triply great, quadruply great, is for the second year in a row, your Providence College Friars playing the Kentucky Wildcats. Now, last year, the game was in Brooklyn. I attended, and the Friars game a little bit of a run. But this Friars team this year, Kev, looking pretty good. 5-0. They're actually ranked nationally. They're 25th right now in the country. Got one more game Friday afternoon. They're playing Yale. And then they head to Rupp Arena on Sunday to play Kentucky.
Ooh, that's gonna be tough.
Yeah, not easy. But you know what? I'm looking for a good half. If they can give them a good half and not get embarrassed, maybe they can hang in the rankings.
They just, you know, Kentucky is so loaded. They've got so much talent. You know, all those All Americans. But I'm not a Providence College fan, but I do support your love of your team. So you know that's good. But I hope they embarrass John Calipari.
Let's do it.
And the Kentucky Wildcats at home. That would be awesome.
Let's do it.
I think that's great. Florida State, 27 in a row undefeated. You know, as far as the gridiron is concerned. So they got a big win against the University of Florida this weekend. Will Muschamp's final game before he gets canned quits as the Florida head coach, and then probably will be the next defensive coordinator at Florida State. Believe it or not. So there you go.
If PC wins that game, I'll do the next podcast naked. That's my promise.
Okay. We can look forward to that, and we're thankful that we're not on webcam.
Oh, not?
No. Oh,
okay.
So I talked about it during the open, the TV deal announced for TNA this past week.
Yes.
Destination America. Do you have Destination America on your
television? Destination programming for me, Kev. Of course. I have it. No, I don't know. I think so. Someone told me that Verizon has it, and I have Verizon, so I've never actually put that. I'm going to flip through it right now. I'm going to see what number it is.
Yeah, I have DirecTV, and I definitely have it. I've watched that channel before, but I'm a big barbecue guy. I like cooking shows.
Is that so what it is? It's a cooking station?
No. It's an Americana station.
Oh, okay.
It's
Americana, baby. Channel 668 here on Verizon Cable.
There you go. They've got a lot of, like,
Lottery changed my life is on what's now.
Right. Yeah. How Lottery changed my life. Barbecue Pit Masters. Super Duper RVs. That type of thing.
The Dan McGinn Experience.
Right. Dan McGinn, you know, I think more like the modern day Bill Cosby. I think we're going to learn over time. But
he wishes. I mean, I think he'd sign up for that right now, honestly.
Wait a minute. I get to have sex with girls while they're unconscious and eat Jell-O pudding pops?
Okay. I get to make them watch me eat food in a dressing room?
Who's going to write the checks, though? That's what I don't have a pride. I got no money. Do you think
I wish
that this,
to you.
Do you think that this TNA deal is good or is bad?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, the alternative was no TV deal, so I would say it's good.
Either this or nothing, so obviously it's good. But
and I'll say this, whereas they're probably not getting, obviously, nearly as much money, and they're going to have a lot less homes, it seems like they're going to be the centerpiece of the network, that they're really going to put a lot into them. And as a veteran, a retired veteran of the TV game, and Scott Griscola could probably speak better to this, the company that he works at now that I used to work with was big into the Discovery Channel network game. Like, they were partners for a while before Discovery left and did their own thing. Destination America is part of that family. And that's a wide-branching family. There are a lot of networks. So maybe if they do well and they have a good relationship and things continue to blossom, maybe they start eking on to other of the Discovery Channel network family. Maybe they have some cross-promotion stuff. And
right.
I mean, they're alive. To me, it worked. And their first set of tapings is the first week of January. They're going to be at the Manhattan Center again, where they had really good shows last time. I mean, I think if you're a TNA fan or you're hopeful for something different, I think this is the best shot they've had in a while to probably turn things around, to start real over fresh. I read that they're going to have a whole new set, a whole new look. So this is kind of their chance to really press the reset button on a lot of things.
I wrote about that this week on WrestleZone.com. What do you think about getting rid of the TNA name?
No, because I think there is some branding there. I'd probably leave it.
It was always the lowbrow Vince Russo joke.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like, I don't know, especially with Global starting, whatever the hell they're doing, I think if you're trying to introduce another new name, you
Pox
might...
Pox of Air.
You might lose some... I don't know. I probably wouldn't change
it. I understand.
I'm sure there are some people that don't know all these goings-on are going to have a hard enough time trying to find it. Now you're going to change the name. It's going to make it even harder for them to track it down.
Right.
You know.
Well, hey, I think, again, I side with you. I see both sides. I think change, for the sake of change, I would change a lot of things, though. I'd get rid of that stupid six-sided ring. I would be a very simple, very basic television show. Wrestling television show. I would reestablish characters.
And they have to reestablish. They need to refresh the announce booth. As I know, today's been the fabric of that.
Today's gone. Today's out the door.
They need a whole new... They just need everything. New presentation.
I think it's going to be Josh and Taz.
And I think Josh... I like Josh a lot. I hope he is.
I do, too. I think he's good.
Yeah.
I've known him, for so long. Not that we're friends, but, I mean, we worked together in the WWE, and I just read that he turned 34, and it's like... Damn, he was like a 21-year-old kid when I met him. I can't believe this.
So here are the system. Oh, God, sorry.
No, but I think that they're going to... That refresh is critical for their success, and they have to stop being WWE Lite. Yeah. That's the biggest thing that they can do.
Yeah, this is the chance to rebuild completely. Here's the sister networks to Discovery, or to Destination America. You have American Heroes Channel, Animal Planet, Destination America, Discovery Family, Discovery Fit and Health, The Investigation Network, Oprah Winfrey Network, Science Network, TLC, and Velocity and Heat. Also, TLC, that's a pretty big one. to have this part of your family. Animal Planet, you can do some crossovers there. So,
well, that Eric Young already had shows on Animal Planet.
So, I mean, maybe there's something in there as well.
Those are good opportunities for crossover.
Yeah, I think they're in a good spot. I do, because I think some of the pressure is off, too, now. You know, I know they're not making as much money, but maybe the pressure that goes with that, having Spike invested so much and really putting the pressure on, maybe it helps that they can repace themselves. And, you know, they're probably not going to get a third opportunity if they fuck this one up, so they really need to make this one count.
My buddy, our buddy, Prince Nana, when Ring of Honor lost the deal with HDNet when they decided not to renew, Nana tweeted out, I think we should go on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Mad emotional.
There you go. The by the way,
I thought about that tweet and I still laugh about it to this day.
HDNet, before they switched over to this access, they had some risque programming on this. Did you ever watch some of the stuff that was on after you or around you on that channel?
It was
Girls Gone Wild.
Right. It was like a little bit of that softcore porn gimmick going on.
I mean, there were a lot of tatas. They also had the Get Out. I don't remember that show. They had like these really hot chicks. I don't know if they lived in a house together or what the hell they did, but they went to different exotic locations. But the show would always open with them like showering and getting prepared to leave. And so they'd be walking around naked. It was, I mean, for a midnight and 1 o'clock showing, it was pretty good on just an over-the-air cable network.
Do you think that one of the things that with HDNet is they never had ratings?
By the way, I didn't watch any of that. Dan McGinn told me so.
Right. Dan McGinn wrote an email, a review.
I think it was an Ask Kevin thing he sent.
I think one of the things when Ring of Honor was on HDNet, there were no ratings. Do you know of or do you expect there to be television ratings with Destination America?
I'm sure there's ratings somewhere. I mean, I don't know if they're higher than whatever. I mean, they were getting okay ratings on Spike. It's just I think Spike was pumping a lot of money into it. But they were getting like a 1 or right around under a 1. I mean, that's not awful for what's out there on cable nowadays. I mean, they never grew. That was the problem. But I think they have some value to a channel like that. Like if they can bring in most of their audience and carry it over, if they land a 0.7, that'll probably be their way by far their highest rated program. It's like WWE with sci-fi. And whatever else they had. What was the channel before Sci-Fi they were on? They did pretty well. My TV or whatever. You know, they'd be like the highest rated show by far.
Sure. ION had good success with the
main event,
but they didn't keep it. And I think when you look at this now, it's an opportunity for TNA to rebrand themselves. They're going to have some challenges, but we'll see how they begin. I guess the journey begins in January, and we'll see when the show kicks off. What... how much we have some business to tend to, or do we have more time here in this segment?
I think we got a couple more minutes. Is something else you wanted to cover?
Okay. What was I off base in the beginning? What am I? Overly? I know you weren't. I'm very optimistic. I'm bullish on professional wrestling right now, from a television standpoint, from a content standpoint, in terms of the fans. From all the options that they have, all the programs, all the promotions now, including at, you know, a new home for TNA, New Japan coming next year, Lucha Underground, the WWE Network, all of this. It's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff to choose from.
Sure.
And is it fun at the beginning to, is it fun to still be a fan and to go to events?
Mm-hmm.
That it's not priced out of the marketplace, is it?
It depends probably on what you can afford. I can say I can afford to have a good time, so I will watch and enjoy the things I want to enjoy. I mean, I'm in a weird spot with live wrestling, though, because I've been to so much of it over the course of my 24 years watching. Mm-hmm. So I will only go for certain things. Like Raw comes to Providence and I haven't gone in a while, whereas like 9 years ago I would have been at every one. It's just
because
to me,
there's so much for free, there's so much on
well,
TV.
It's not even
for $10 a month.
Yeah, it's not like, even that it, though, it's the time. It's like I've seen it, and I can't say Raw is like really captivating, so I've been to enough shows where it's like, okay, I don't need to go for the novelty of Raw anymore, you know what I mean? So for me to have to commit another night or shift around the podcast or, you know, where, you know, ask my wife for another night to have out where she can stay home with, you know, soon to be 2 children. To me, I don't know. It's just not as high on my list to go anymore because I've been so many times, but
right.
something like the Rumble, where we're having a big group and going to Ring of Honor, like that, I'm really excited for. Like, I want to be there live. Like, I had a blast at last year's Rumble. I had a blast at WrestleMania 29 at the Ring of Honor shows when you guys came to Providence. I was thrilled to be there. So, you know, it has to have, like, a unique flavor for me to really get into going to a live show nowadays.
Do you think Sting versus Triple H will be at WrestleMania?
I mean, that makes all the sense in the world, but I keep seeing they're still maybe going to do Sting Taker, which I think is stupid.
I have no interest in that at all.
No, it's not going to be good.
I have a great
Taker
deal
should
of
be
interest.
Done. Taker should be done.
Yeah, I have no interest in Sting Taker at all. I have significant interest in Sting Triple H.
I think they would put on a really good match because I think Triple H can still put on a good match. So I think he would help Sting through it if Sting's, you know, a little rusty. I thought the DDT was really good at Survivor Series. The Sting really snapped him down pretty strong.
I agree. I do agree. And let me ask you this.
And
I'm remiss in not mentioning NXT in terms of viewing, because that, I think, is eventually what you're going to see on WWE. I think that once Vince dies or lets go of the pencil and Triple H is fully in charge, I think that's the style of program you'll see on Raw. So right, anyway,
let me ask you this. So, and he's going to kill me, but I promise Chad Campbell, this will be the last time I bring it up because he's already started hearing about it. But we were talking yesterday and he was nitpicking as he does. And he said that Sting doing that reverse DDT took away from Dolph Ziggler doing a version of it like 5 minutes earlier. Do you, as an insider mind of the business that's been in the business for 20 years, 20 plus years, is that something that is an issue, or would you say that was a problem?
I see where Chad is coming from.
Okay.
So he's not completely off base, but I think that both, now that's Ziggler's finisher, right?
Yeah, well, he does a zigzag, so it's kind of like the same thing, but it's where he jumps up and pulls a guy down.
Yeah, I think that that is established as his finisher, and since Sting is a part-timer, I don't think the rules apply. I think it's okay.
Right, and here's my argument. We've seen Dolph Ziggler now do that move probably thousands of times, right?
Sure.
Over the last 5 years. So, I mean, does it have any level of impact? Alone in that match, he probably did it five times. And Sting did it in a different way, in a big moment, his huge return. You know, it's not like Sting was in the match and they both did the move. So,
right.
To me, it seemed like a real heavy nitpick.
Yeah, that is nitpicketry. I would give you that.
Yeah,
and fucking I think Southerners. There is less of that. There's a, you know, in Ring of Honor, there's a little bit of that from time to time. Like Roderick Strong is very particular about those types of things, and some guys are very, very picky, you know, when it comes to, you know, things like that. But no, I don't think it's not a problem for me at all. I don't think it's a problem for Ziggler. I don't think Sting would have a problem with I don't think Sting's the type of guy to come in and go, hey, Ziggler's finisher is too close to Scorpion Death Drop. He's going to have to find something else to do. You know, I don't see it like that. It's not like two guys doing a Hogan leg drop. It is a, you know, it's just a move. But it was the move that led Ziggler to win, so therefore it's not like it was, you know, beaten into the ground and kicked out of 1,000, even though we have seen people kick out of it. But okay. My point is, it's a nitpick, but it's not like Sting's not going to lose any sleep over it, and the offices are going to tell Ziggler to change his finish. Although I think Sting probably, Vince said, hey, Stinger, listen, we're paying you $1 million. Can you color your hair? And Sting said, no.
Yeah, the Frank Costanza going on.
What was that? It's the only thing I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
His song, too. Why did they take away the song?
I don't know. That's a good question.
But all right, Chad, I'll let it go. We're done.
Good job, Chad. You're the man.
He's the man. He's the man.
So you've got a choice. If this was still around, do you could you see yourself going to live wrestling on Thanksgiving? Everybody flips their lid about, I can't believe that they're making people work on Thanksgiving and the stores are going to be open and I'm not supporting them. Or I can't wait to start my, you know, Black Friday shopping on Thanksgiving. Right. But when I grew up, there were big shows on Thanksgiving night, big shows that people went to. and I never got the chance to go to one, but would you go to one now?
All right. Are you saying in my present situation or in a magical world where I am, single and free to do what I want?
Single and free, obviously, that's an easy yes.
Okay. Right no, now, it would have to probably be like a big deal.
Okay.
You'd have to tell me like it's a super show to this level or there's a big match or moment going on. I mean, if you're just throwing like a SmackDown or a Raw or a Battleground or something on Thanksgiving night, I'm probably not going.
Would you have bought, do you think that the WWE left money on the table and didn't do more to promote the network by not advertising Sting ahead of time?
I think they're the ones who leaked it.
But who saw the leak?
I think it got out pretty fast and made its way around pretty fast. I think anyone who would maybe be on the fence about getting the network or getting the show are probably the people that are a little bit more in tuned. To me, I don't think Sting sells the card for the casual fans. So they're already getting the network or the show. To me, Sting sells it for the smarter fans who may be just, jaded or whatever. They didn't want to get the show anyway.
See, I go the other direction. I think that they should have spent money and invested that Sting is going to debut at Survivor Series. What's he going to do? And then do like a billboard campaign and some television and some things like that with Sting debuts, Survivor Series, only available on the WWE Network. Order now.
Well, do you think maybe that's why they didn't have him on Raw? To say, hey, you want to see Sting, order the network. You can watch the replay right now anytime you want.
Yes. I hadn't thought of that, but I think you're exactly right. McGinn brought up, he sent a note that's saying there was a little mention of the beginning and the montage, but as far as the rest of the show, that was it.
Right. And you can read all about Raw, Dan McGinn's Raw Recap, PlayStation.com.
I think you're onto something there. Could you see a scenario where they start to make some wrestlers pay-per-view exclusive, meaning you won't see them on television?
Brock Lesnar's close to that. He doesn't have any matches on TV. His matches are only pay-per-view or network exclusive. I think they should have a network title that could be defended at any time on the network. They would give you, a text alert. In 2 hours,
ooh,
the network title's up for grabs. Could be a Thursday afternoon, 3 o'clock.
What about, during, Legends House?
Yeah, there you go.
The 24/7 hardcore title.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, there's a ring out in the backyard, and the Legends are out there. On. And there's a match for the network title.
But even beyond that, even if they just have the network title, you only see it defended on the network, and it could be at any time. You get we'll send you a text message and a blast on the website saying, "Hey, at 3 o'clock today, we just found out. We're gonna run this match that happened."
That's a good idea. I like the idea of that.
And how about live house show televise those? Like, what Friday nights? What are you showing on the network that is going to draw anything? But
nothing.
People may turn in, Hey, this week we're in Peoria. We have a house show going on, 8 p.m. Tune in to the network live to see your favorite stars in action.
It ain't cheap.
You don't need to have the full production value. Have a couple
that, I think, is where that is where I think you would meet some resistance. Mm. If you came in with that idea and you presented it to the folks in the TV studio, I think they would say, no, we have a certain standard of production, of look, and
I guess my point is you don't need the Tron, the fireworks, and all that, right? I mean, you can't do it with a few cameras. Is that super
expensive? I think you can. I mean, it's one of the things that we've talked about with Ring of Honor. Most of our stuff kind of looks like that anyway. But even doing as we increase, if we just kind of put the cameras on the shoulders of the cameraman and we really shoot anywhere, the lighting can be whatever it is, and we could call it road rage, or we could call it whatever, or down and dirty, or something like that, that gives you almost a behind the scenes look, like this is a your members only type of thing,
Because it could boost house shows too, because now you start having maybe a little bit higher caliber of a match here or there. You have a title match.
You're going to switch belts on the road, obviously. You're
right.
Going to have to do title switches on the road.
And then maybe you even do something with, a fan of the night where you get to come and manage. Like, man, they used to do that in the mid-90s. They would have they'd pick someone from the crowd to manage, to be the flag bearer for Lex Luger. Like, maybe you start doing something like that. You come out to the house show, you can get on the network, and then you kind of simultaneously draw to the house and the network show.
I don't see where it I don't see a bad I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I think, like I said, the only thing you would probably hear like within the WWE would be, well, our production value wouldn't be as good as we're used to. What is this, ECW? You know, they're a little snobbish.
They're also averse to making money at times, so I don't know.
We hate money. So those are – and I know we've kind of talked a lot about different ideas for the network, but I think that that could be – I also wondered if TNA and I don't know if this was in conversation with anybody – if it was ever the WWE's idea to buy TNA and put them on the network. I mean, if you're the WWE network, right?
Mm.
What's the harm? You get the library and you make it a network exclusive promotion. Similar to an NXT.
Probably not worth the money.
What are you going to buy? You're going to buy it for the rights. You're going to buy it so that there's no other competition out there.
Yeah, but you're not talking about WCW where there was like inherent kind of name value and star power. I mean, TNA as a program has never drawn like above a 1.3 rating in the 12 years they've been around. I mean, what do you really gain? What audience are you gaining? Like, I think I can't imagine there's too many TNA fans that aren't already watching WWE.
True.
WCW is unique where there were split fans. There were fans that were just WCW fans. There were people who supported. It was more of a war. Like now, I think it's more homogenized. I think the fans are all blended. It's a mongrel wrestling fan base.
It's a dirty mutt. No, and again, breeds. There has never been that great crossover. Although Sting, Mick Foley, Ric Flair.
Right.
So I saw Hulk Hogan. I saw like a meme that had, you know, FTNA, all they do is bring out these old guys and in pictures of Flair and Hogan and Mick Foley and Sting. And then it was, oh, we love WWE. Oh, they bring back all the legends. Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mick Foley and Sting. It's, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But again, that's why WWE is who they are. And TNA is always branded as WWE Lite.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they have to go in a completely different direction. Is it time for us now to talk
about? Yeah, I think so.
All right. So there's a lot of good stuff going on the Place to Be Nation, and it's too much for me to recap, JR, so that's why I'm going to make you do it.
All right. Titans of Wrestling had a new podcast. Check that out. Looking at April 1975 in the Wide World Wrestling Federation. Our Survivor Series Rewind series, Kevin, we did three podcasts. We looked at Survivor Series 09, 98, and 89. So three interesting episodes. Check
98,
that out.
I was there.
Woo-hoo. There you go. And that was me, Scott, Brad, and Chad did that one. We have different groups on each one. So make sure you check those out. New NBA team podcast we looked at here. McGinn's Raw Recap is up. And Kevin, I know we talked about it before. The greatest song of the 90s tournament, 640 songs entered in. We're into Group V today. This goes up every night at midnight. 10 okay. songs, you pick 5. Once we get through the first round, we move to the second round, and on and on.
All right.
So today's was a stacked, loaded group. Probably the toughest of the run so far. Here we go. You're going to give me 5 songs.
I'm ready.
All right. Waterfalls by TLC.
Yep.
Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yep.
This Is How We Do It, Montel Jordan.
Yep.
Plush, Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
Meh.
Still a big song.
Dr. Tom is a huge Aerosmith fan. Should have asked him about that.
Coma by Guns N' Roses. Doo-Wop, That Thing by Lauryn Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You Don't Know How It Feels by Tom Petty. Champagne Supernova by Oasis. And The mm-hmm. Lonesome Kicker by Adam Sandler, his big hit.
I have 6.5 fingers up right now.
Okay, see? Told you.
Not just on one hand. That's hard to just choose 5.
That's a tough group.
The first 3, absolutely, yes. Right,
so Waterfalls, Sir Mix-a-Lot, Montel, the 2 L's.
Yep. And then That Thing by Lauryn Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a Tom Petty song? And then
yeah,
Champagne
You Don't Know
Supernova?
How It Feels is a Tom Petty song, Champagne Supernova, Oasis.
Those were my 6 guaranteeds for that group. Then what was after Montel Jordan?
Stone Temple Pilots Plush, which is a big song as well.
That was a really, really big record. I mm-hmm. think I got to go with that one, so that's 7.
Okay.
And
you can only pick 5.
No. I'm picking 7.
Okay.
But that's the point, right?
Well, you can only pick 5. So what 2 do you want to leave up?
That Thing and Tom Petty.
Okay. So let's hit the vote. Votes are rolling in. So you had four of the top five right now. Sir Mix-a-Lot leading the way. Waterfall's right on its heels. Montel up there as well. Stone Temple Pilots. And Oasis right now has the fifth spot. Lauryn Hill is in eighth.
No, I said to take that one out, and I went with the Oasis.
Okay, well, you have the top five then.
Ah, very good.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Montel. Yeah, I mean, I think Montel's a threat to win this whole thing.
He's not going to beat Baby Got Back.
Really? I think Montel's better than that.
But it's also, again, Montel, you know, if you want to hear that song, just get Children's Story by Slick Rick.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, kid.
Yeah.
All right. What else is going on the website?
I'd say those are the big things. Lots of Sorry Series coverage. We had our reaction podcast. We had our live blog. We have some Thanksgiving stuff coming up this week. Some Thanksgiving memories, wrestling memories, TV memories for Thanksgiving. There's a rumor that Cowboy Goes to Class may be returning with Survivor Series installment. We'll see if that happens. New episode of the main event, Scott Criscullo and the boys talking about Survivor Series and also breaking down, there was an article on WWE.com, 100 matches you need to see before you die. They're going to go through some of that list and talk about how accurate it is. So that'll be up tomorrow on PlayStation.com Wednesday. So lots of cool things happening here, Kev.
Yeah, I want to take a moment. Shouts out to Matt Taven, Michael Bennett, and Maria Kanellis, who are having a great time representing Ring of Honor in the tag team tournament over in New Japan. And they've got a ton of pictures that they keep putting up on Twitter, at Matt Taven, at Maria Kanellis, and I think it's, Real Michael Bennett? So follow them and check out all the pictures that they're taking, because they're doing like a touristy thing while they're there too. So very cool stuff.
So I should stop driving by Johnson & Wales every weekend? So Maria's not around?
She's not there yet.
Okay.
Very soon, though.
Okay, I'll stop.
Did you guys enjoy, what did you do for the pay-per-view? Was there a big time had by all?
It was a small time had by all, but it was a good time had by all. We spent the day at Boneheads watching football, and then we came back here to the PTBN studios, and we watched the Sunday Night Football game on one of my TVs, and I have a second TV that we watched the pay-per-view on, so me, Roger, and Dan. I watched it on the Roku, Kevin. We heard Dr. Tom talk about it, Roku, whatever he called it.
Yeah, he's old.
And you can get that if you don't want cable anymore, right? If you want to get rid of cable, you should visit Get Rid of Cable.
.net.
.net. There you go. I can never remember if it's .com or .net.
.net. No, it's .net.
GetRidOfCable.net. Check that out. Our friends over there give you all the ways and reasons if you're looking to ditch cable and cut the cord, all the different options available to you, reasons why you should do it. It's definitely worth checking out, and a lot of good information on there.
You know who is a cord cutter? A new cord cutter? Steve Carino. King
really?
Carino himself has cut the cord.
That mofo. All he used to do is talk about TV on his podcast. Dancing with the Stars, Frozen.
He's got a lot of things going on right now.
Yeah.
Bex won, so he's on fire. You ready for the snow, young man?
Informer?
Not that song. No, you're ready for real snow, snowfall.
Yeah, I don't know. We're on the weird like dividing line right now where I am. So we're either like 1 to 3 inches or none, just rain. I'm kind of in a weird spot. So how about you? What are you supposed to get?
We're supposed to get 4 to 8 here in South Central Pennsylvania. Mm. So we'll see. I'm thinking more like 4.
Good. I hope so.
Hey, is it time now for trending stories?
Yeah, I think it is.
I love trending stories. Every episode of the Kevin Kelly Show, we get together and Justin tirelessly combs the internet. He even picks up like daily newspapers, you know, still getting the ink on his fingers, and searches high and low, far and wide, for stories that are of interest to you, me, and everyone. And we call them trending stories. Generally, there's three. Sometimes there's more. And I think now we are ready for trending story number one here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
And now the news the whole world is talking about. It's time for trending stories right here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Ugh.
Kev, as you know, your boy's been on a little bit of a health kick, doing well here, and I found this article I thought you might be interested in. An expert dietitian revealed 10 items worth giving another try and suggests ways to overcome your aversions to them. So I'm going to list these 10 foods, and I want you to rank them for me in the order that you would give them another try. And in this article, he also lists different ways you can try them to get over your obsession with not eating them. And you can tell me if you eat them already.
All right.
Broccoli.
Okay.
Oysters.
Mm. Ew.
Olives.
Love olives.
Spinach.
Okay. Good with spinach.
Beetroot.
Beetroot. Hmm. Okay.
Beat it. Brussels sprouts.
I like Brussels sprouts.
Garlic.
I love garlic.
Anchovies.
Ooh, that's tough. Okay.
Liver.
Another tough one, but okay.
And Marmites.
I've never heard of Marmites before, but it sounds like
it's
an insect.
Spread. It looks like a spread.
What are the benefits of these foods? Do they have some sort of like, you know, most of them smell horribly. So is it,
they're rich in vitamins. So broccoli, of course, rich in many nutrients, folate, vitamins A, C, and K, and calcium.
I think broccoli's overrated.
I like broccoli a lot.
I love broccoli, but I just
broccoli
think it's overrated.
Lesnar.
Broccoli. Yes.
I know. I like broccoli a lot. I eat a lot of broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
It's a high in sulforaphane, an antioxidant considered to be proactive against cancer, protective against cancer.
Okay.
As well as macular degeneration of the eyes.
And what about beetroot? Beetroots. Skip down to that one.
Recent health claims suggest beetroot can help lower blood pressure and prevent dementia. So you're in trouble with both of those already.
Damn it.
Nitrates in this red root vegetable open blood vessels and can boost exercise performance by delaying muscle fatigue.
All right. So what about beetroot? Tell me about beetroot.
You can bake in the oven or shred and mix it to a salad. You can make borscht, Russian beetroot soup, or mix pickled beetroot with mackerel.
I'm thinking that it's the root at the end of the beet, but this is actually the round red beet, correct?
I guess so. That's what it seems like based on
okay.
this.
Okay. I'm cool. I'm cool with that. I love beets.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Marmivites, I'm not down with that. I don't even know what that is.
Well, it sounds like a spread you would put on, because it says you can try and like mix it with butter or something.
Oof. Gun to your head and $100 bill. You're going to eat liver?
No.
Under no way, shape, form, or fashion.
This form of offal is high in vitamin A and B12, iron, and folate, but low in fat. It's a texture and idea of eating the animal's organ that tends to put people off. Soaking in milk will tone down the strong flavor and aroma. No thanks.
There's definitely some tricks you can do to it to gimmick it up.
Yeah, throw it in the garbage. That's about it.
All right. How about Brussels sprouts? People
I love Brussels sprouts.
Oh, I love them too, they're right? So good. Roasted, yep. Bacon.
Yep. The only thing, the problem with them is making them is a pain in the ball. So you just got to peel them all apart and prepare
them. No, you don't.
You just eat them right out of the thing?
Slice them in half, olive oil.
Yeah, but you leave that initial layer on?
Well, it kind of comes off when you slice it in half, at least for me.
Yeah, even slicing was a pain. They're so tiny, it takes a while.
Yeah, I mean, there's prep to it, but it to me, it reminds me of like a small cabbage.
Yeah, no, they're very good. I like them all.
Yep.
Spinach.
I'm down,
I'm a big
by the way,
spinach.
I'm down 10 pounds myself.
Look at you.
Yeah. We are going to, a little spoiler alert here. After the first of the year, I'm going to dramatically do something here. Well,
we said that last first of the year.
Shut up. We're going to try it again.
Okay. I'm down.
But that was then, this is now. So we're going to definitely try it for the new year.
I got your back.
Okay, I appreciate that. We're going to do, I'm thinking about this yoga thing.
Okay.
So we'll have to put a game plan together in place. But I like the idea of the healthy foods.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been doing that's really worked for exercise-wise is just walking. Walking
a lot.
Right? I got myself a pedometer that hooks up to my phone and I've been hitting my steps, try to walk as much as I can. And at the gym, I've just been doing the treadmill, straight incline all the way up, 15 full incline, Kev. 4 miles an hour for either 45 minutes to an hour. You burn so many calories, you won't even know what to do with them all.
You're like a mountain goat. Look at you.
Do it. I'm telling you. It's the best cardio you can do next to DDP yoga.
Okay. I got a treadmill sitting over there. In fact, I...
You should do the show while you're on it.
That would suck.
You're out of breath as it is on the show.
Shut up.
All right, ready for trending story number two?
I got to take a knee. All right, Because one is not enough. We need another trending story. So it's time for trending story number two. Here we go.
Kev, do you like to walk like an Egyptian?
No, I find it very difficult.
Well, the University of Kentucky has an Egyptian on their team, and Rick Pitino said he tried everything to avoid running up the score late in Louisville's 87-26 win over Savannah State. Hell, we even played four white guys and an Egyptian. He did. The lineup consisting of three walk-ons, a Norwegian 7-foot freshman, and an Egyptian 7-foot freshman could not reverse the carnage. What do you think? There's a little bit of a kerfuffle around his comments, saying it's a little... on the edge. I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was clearly tongue-in-cheek and pretty funny, and he honestly was just telling the truth. There's four white guys in Norwegian.
You do
up on Savannah State.
You, anytime you talk about color now, everybody gets so butthurt.
Mm.
You can't say anything anymore. Pitino didn't mean anything by it. It is a complete joke. College basketball is colorblind. When you are a coach in college basketball, you do not see color. Everyone is together. You just see the colors of the uniform, and that's it. You don't care who they are or where they come from. You just love them. And these college coaches, they love these kids, and they work so hard to try to keep them. You know, they pay so much money to get them to the school, and then they pay so much money to keep them there and keep them happy all under the table. No, but I think that it's a bunch of crap. And Savannah State should step up and try to, you know, score more than 26 points. Give me
awful.
A break.
87-26.
That's
brutal.
Pitiful.
The Tigers
pitiful.
Shut out for the first 15-58 of the game, fell behind 29-0. They
what
hit a single
do?
Sad free throw after an iffy shooting foul. It was 41-7 at the half.
There's not much you can do when you get run out of the gym, and I just hope that when Providence heads to Lexington to do battle with the University of Kentucky Wildcats, that they don't meet the same fate.
Oh, I don't see them.
As befell the Savannah State team in Louisville.
I think they'll fare a little bit better than that.
All right. Because trending stories is what we're thankful for here on this Thanksgiving episode. It's time for trending story number three here on the Kevin Kelly Show. It's the Dan McGinn song. Here we go.
Kevin, this weekend, Dan McGinn. No. So the story this weekend
I
here.
I guessed right.
Free agent NFL quarterback Tyler Thigpen. You remember this guy?
I do.
He was arrested Sunday morning in Myrtle Beach, charged with a DUI. Police claim that Thigpen's car sat. It's a little bit big for a car seat. Car sat in a Wendy's drive-thru for 20 minutes while he slept at the wheel. According to police report obtained by the Sun News, officers needed several minutes to awaken Thigpen, who was slumped over in the driver's seat of his black Cadillac SUV. When he awoke, the report claims Thigpen didn't know where he was or how he got there, was later booked on a DUI charge and bonded out on Sunday. Drive-thrus, Kev. Would Wendy's be the one you want to be found passed out in?
No, I wouldn't. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes it just happens.
Yeah.
Probably
just
more
happens.
Like, Whataburger. Which was big when I was in college. It's a Texas chain, but I went to Florida State. It was mm-hmm. like one, and everybody went there hammered. We used to drink and drive all the time back in my day.
Yep.
And I never passed out. Well, I did pass out in a stranger's yard, and I did wake up in the morning. They never came out to see me or nothing ever happened, but yeah, that was not good.
Well,
I'm not
it was
proud
the
snow
of on the ground because you probably just blended right in.
You know what? That's just not right. I was asleep in my car, I'll have you know.
So I like the this is from Deadspin, so they got some comments, and this one actually made me laugh. So one guy said, police knew it was Thigpen by his failure to complete the short drive.
Oh my gosh, that's a really good shot right there.
And then another one was, this doesn't even crack the top 10 of Tyler Thigpen's worst drives.
Oh, poor Tyler Thigpen. Where did he go to college? Was he a South Carolina guy?
Well, he's living Clemson? In Myrtle Beach, so he's got to be probably from around there. Let's see. I know he played for the Bills. He played for the Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs, I remember him. He was on that dreadful 2-14 team. I think he's...
All right, you were close. Coastal Carolina.
No, really?
Drafted in the 7th round by the Minnesota Vikings. Then played for the Chiefs as well as the Bills, the Dolphins. And this year he was on the Browns practice squad. Didn't make the team.
Very interesting. Very interesting. All right, we've got a special Thanksgiving gift to all of you, and it's an extra trending story.
Wow, that was ballsy. You just assumed I had one. Good job, though.
I figured it was, you know, because it's Thanksgiving. You were going to pull one out of your rear end. Here we go. Our final special trending story here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Ooh, ooh. Yeah, sing it, Dan McGinn.
All right, Kev, you know that tune. Take the money and run.
That's right.
Well, how about this guy who didn't take the money, but he ran? Police are looking for a man who attempted to rob a convenience store early this morning when he was thwarted when he saw how much there was in the cash drawer. At 12:30 a.m., a man went to a 7-Eleven at Clyde Morris Boulevard and demanded cash from the clerk. Police wrote in a news release, where the clerk showed the man how much was in the register, he just cursed and left. The man is described as being 6 feet tall, about 150 pounds, wore a blue bandana with white designs over his face, blah, blah, blah. And this is in Virginia. So, Kev, are you leaving the money behind, no matter how small amount? I mean, you went through all the trouble. And how disappointing it is that you finally probably get the sack to execute this robbery, and there's like $9 in the register.
That's pitiful.
We call that a Criscolo, by the way, but go ahead.
The manager, obviously, the clerk, did a bad job, because what if somebody comes in and buys $4 worth of stuff and has a 20. Now what's he going to do? Not make change? I think, you know, and the guy's 6 foot tall, 150 pounds. He should eat a sandwich. Give me a break. I wish I was 6 foot tall and 150 pounds.
Yeah,
I was 150 pounds in ninth grade. That sucks. I hate that guy. Idiot. And he's arrested? I hope he is.
No, they're looking for him.
Damn it. Does he look like Dan McGinn?
Dan McGinn is not 6 feet tall. Or okay. 150 pounds.
He's 450 pounds?
No. No, Dan All McGinn's right. in okay shape. I mean, Dan McGinn's like not overweight, but I'm not going to say he's in good shape because I've seen him play basketball and he looked like he was going to fucking die. So I won't say he's in good shape, but.
Yeah, winded. Yeah. Limbs hanging down.
Yeah.
All right. If you're the Yankees, do you sign Max Scherzer?
Fuck me. I don't know. I mean, they need
5 years, 110.
No. Oh, yeah, that I'd do in a heartbeat. He's getting more than that. He's getting 7, 180 or something like that.
Think so?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's so much money out there right now with all those TV deals.
It is sick.
Yeah. Red Sox signed Hanley and Pablo. It sounds like the Cubs are making a hard push for Lester. They topped the Red Sox offers, the rumor tonight. I really want the Yankees to re-sign Chase Headley, but there's a story tonight that he may be beyond what they want to give, which would piss me off because they really need a third baseman. They should have signed him as soon as the season ended. I don't know. They need pitching, but I'm so tired of these 7-8 year contracts. I don't know if they should give another one. I think I'd give it to Lester before Scherzer.
What if they went 5, 150?
Yeah, I don't care about the money. It's the years.
It's the years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go more than 4, 5 tops.
I'm down with 5, 150. I'd do that. Yeah. I'd do that in a blink of an eye. Because they got the money. Who gives a shit? They're already over the luxury tax. And, I mean, Teixeira comes off the books after two of those years, and things start to come apart. I mean, A-Rod's got a few more years left. But
A-Rod, is he going to be on the club opening day?
Yep.
He's playing?
Starting DH. That's my guess.
So bad.
I think he'll probably still hit okay. I don't think he can play the field much.
Well, we'll see. We got to do like a... We got to look, you know, I can't wait till spring. I'm already fired up for spring. And we can
the
do
holidays. We haven't gotten through the holidays yet.
I know, but I'm already looking forward to the warmer weather. I'm already sick of this crap.
Yeah, true. This is one year where I'm into it. It's rare, Kevin. You know, being a Yankees fan, a Jets fan who haven't had a ton of success, but recently they haven't been bad until the last year or so. You know, Bruins fan. A lot of my teams have success. It is rare that the Providence College Friars are my most successful team in any given year. So I'm really enjoying this college basketball season because I've had a tough baseball year, an awful football year.
Sure.
Bruins are up and down.
You look at, if you give anybody that four, Yankees, Jets, Bruins, Friars, I don't think the Friars are going to be number one on anybody's list, but they are the team that has led you to the most fan success this year.
You're very right. They won the Big East title.
Yep.
And now they're ranked, so.
Made the big dance, and now they're getting ready to dismantle the Kentucky Wildcats this weekend.
Yeah. They're going to beat them like Kentucky beat Savannah State. They're going to reverse it.
Damn right. All right, let's take a quick timeout, and then we'll come back with some more Thanksgiving thoughts, and we'll play a game and do some more stuff as we wrap up a Thanksgiving edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. Stay with us here on the Place to Be Nation and PlaceToBeNation.com.
Butthurt. On the west side, so I reach for my 40 and I turn it up. Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shop cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, yo, we made it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
All right, we're back. Just a few minutes remaining here on the Thanksgiving edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. What a time we are having. Dr. Tom Pritchard, just one of the many great guests that we've had here this week and throughout the 23 episodes of the Kevin Kelly Show. Make sure you check out the archive and do that this Thanksgiving weekend, and you'll be very thankful for that, because we've had wide-ranging guests, and it's a fun time and a good listen. So make sure you check out the archives of the Kevin Kelly Show and download them right now or else. All right. You know, Thanksgiving is, we should be thankful every day, and I am thankful every day, but this is the time where everybody does give their thanks. So overall, JR, what are you thankful for here in 2014 in wrestling and in general? You got a lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, in wrestling, it's been such a weird year. I'm thankful for the network. I don't care how many people have issues with it. For $10 a month, I get more than my money's worth. I probably use it just about every day in one way or another, even if it's just for a few minutes. Thankful for this website. I love it. Love all these podcasts. Love everything we do. It keeps me really busy. Keeps me hustling. Constantly on the go doing something or other. It's a lot of great friends I've met. I mean, we joke about Dan, but without it, we wouldn't have become close like we have. And Brad and Chad and all the crew, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, all my buddies there. I don't want to keep naming names, so I'll forget some. Ben Morris, Glenn Butler, Scott, obviously I've known for a long time. And the rest.
Scott.
Aaron George. So I'm thankful for that. I am thankful for, having a good job, a well-paying job. It allows me to have a nice house and provide and have some fun on the side. Thankful for my son that's on the way in February, March. I'm looking forward to that. So a lot of cool things.
Yeah, you got a lot of good stuff going on there. And
thankful for
you,
Kev. Thankful for us.
Thank you.
It's a big year for us.
I've really
best friends.
Well, I we're friends. We're friendly. Friendly.
That's it.
Friendly. I think that's a good way to describe it, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think it's a good way to describe it? Friendly. Isn't that nice? Friendly's a good word. But anyway, no, we're good friends. I appreciate you. I'm very thankful for you a lot, and I've really enjoyed working with you. And with Dan McGinn. I have a good time whenever I do this show. That's one of the reasons why I haven't missed any.
You haven't. You've been great.
I like it. I have fun. I look forward to it every other week, and I know that the fans, I always get a lot of good feedback.
Wait till we go daily in 2015. Fans aren't going to know what
Jesus
hit them.
Jesus Christ. I couldn't do this. But no, again, I've got a lot of good things. I started a new job in May, and I'm very thankful for that. Thankful for my family, which is just fantastic, and we're having such a good time. Trust me, when your kids get older, I know they present challenges when they're young. When they get older, it's different challenges, but you really get to experience a different side when your kids become old enough, and you could sit around the dinner table and have conversations and laugh and make jokes, and it's just fun. It's a blast. And as far as wrestling is concerned, I'm really thankful for Steve Corino, because Corino and I are hitting a groove right now as far as commentary partner that I've never experienced before. And I think we're really starting to get over with fans. And I think the Ring of Honor product is really getting over. And we've got such good things planned for 2015, from pay-per-views and, events in Las Vegas and out in the Bay Area, the biggest weekend of the wrestling year, and Atlanta, and all kinds of new stuff that we're doing next year. We're really excited. So I've got a lot to be thankful for. But you know what? We're going to be thankful for everything through the holiday season and continue on, and next year is going to be great. So,
And I forgot Andrew Reich and Jason Greenhouse.
See, that's the thing. You start naming people, and then
then I went too far, so I had to make sure. Those are two more I wanted to get in, so.
Yeah, everything gets out of whack, and it's like, oh no, I'm sorry, I forgot you, but I didn't mean to, and no, I feel awful now. And so anyway, now I hope that we have a game, because Thanksgiving, you got the football games, you got Florida State Saturday, that's a huge game. We got big games in NFL Sunday, Providence and Kentucky, that's a big game. Do we have a game here this week?
I also have to go show my boy Jay D'Amato one more there. So.
Oh, Jesus.
I can't wait to see him in January. Looking forward to it. All right, here we go.
Time to play the game!
All right. As we've,
I'm thankful for that, too. I love that.
As we've mentioned multiple times, that we are, Mark Claire, too, we are here for playing a game. It is Survivor Series time. It's Thanksgiving time. And I thought this would be a fun little game, Kev, because it's going to test your knowledge, your wrestling knowledge. You ready for
that? Okay. Yes.
We're going to play the Survivor Series team game. Meaning, I'm going to read you members of a team from Survivor Series past, and you have to tell me who the fourth member was that I'm leaving out.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
A little quiz time. We're going to have guys that are really crazy on the site about this kind of stuff. They're going to be bashing the computer screen. They're going to be frantic. The fire is going to be shooting from their fingertips as they're frantically typing the answers. How stupid you are.
I am going to bomb this game. I'm not good at this at all.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
And we're going to do this. If you don't get it, we'll give Dan McGinn the chance. He can message it in. We'll see how he does. Actually, you know what?
Okay.
It's Thanksgiving. Should we let Dan come on for a sec?
Okay, because it is Thanksgiving, he can get up from the kids' table and he can come over here to the adults' table.
Come in, Dan. Uncle Justin says it's okay.
He can chime in.
How you doing?
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good, guys. I apologize if the dog starts barking, but...
Already. See, just shut up. Just man up. Stop apologizing.
All right. Here we go. Let's play the game because it's fun.
Okay. We can do one from every year here from the early years. 1987. The team, the Honky Tonk Man, Hercules, Harley Race, Danny Davis, and who?
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
I'll give you their opponents. Maybe it'll help. Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat, Jake Roberts, Jim Duggan, and Brutus Beefcake were the opponents.
Would the answer be Ron Bass?
Yes, Dan McGinn. 1-0.
Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. All right. I'm being
hoodwinked. Dan's
here.
Just a nerd, a big wrestling nerd.
Dan, really? Seriously? You're not prompted at all? You didn't know the answer ahead of time?
All right.
I trust you. I trust you. You're a smart young man. All right, go.
We have the 1988 main event. On one side were Ted DiBiase, the Twin Towers, Haku, and the Red Rooster, taking on Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Hercules, Hillbilly Jim, and what fifth man?
Give me them again.
Hogan, Savage, Hillbilly Jim, Hercules, and one fifth man.
I don't know. Jeez. Ricky Steamboat. All right.
Dan McGinn?
I believe this is a J-Fabe, one of your favorites, Justin. It's was it Coco Beware?
Yes! 2-0.
Damn it! I suck at this.
Yeah, you're awful.
I know. I stink.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. What's number three?
All right, 1989. The opponents, Roddy Piper, Jimmy Snuka, and the Bushwhackers, take on Rick Rude, the Rougeau Brothers, and what man?
The Berserker.
God, the Berserker. Dan McGinn!
That would be Mr. Perfect.
Yes! 3-0.
Damn it.
God, the Berserker.
I don't know.
Come on.
First time we've ever mentioned the Berserker in 23 episodes of the Kevin Kelly Show.
Very true.
You completists at home now can check that name off your list. All right.
That's way too far to go without a mention of Berserker.
All right, here we go. What's the next one?
All right, 1990. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I think you can get this one. The team of Hulk Hogan, Jim Duggan, the Big Boss Man, and Tugboat took on Earthquake, Dino Bravo, Haku, and what man?
That would be the Texas Tornado's left foot.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
Dan McGinn.
The Barbarian.
Yes. Very
sure.
Good.
I knew it was the Barbarian. I just wanted to give the funny answer.
Well, maybe Barbarian is Kerry Von Erich's right foot.
See? There you go.
All right. Let's see. What's another one? We'll go to 1990.
What's the score? What's the score so far?
It's 4-0.
Damn it.
All right, we'll do a few more here. 1991, the team.
This is in Orlando.
Nope. Detroit.
Right. Like I said, Detroit.
All right, the team.
Oh, that was the Royal Rumble in 91. Go ahead.
No, it was 90. The team, we have Sergeant Slaughter, Jim Duggan, Texas Tornado, and his feet, and Tito Santana took on Colonel Mustafa, Skinner, Hercules, and what man?
Good Lord. Skinner. Boom. Dino Bravo was dead, I think, by this point.
Not yet. He was not dead.
Big Boss Man. Damn it.
Dan McGinn.
The Berserker.
Yes, the Berserker.
I had my Berserker in the wrong ear.
Yes, you did. All right, 1993. We'll do one more here.
Okay.
All right. Here's an easy one, okay? Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Bruce Hart, and Keith Hart took on Shawn Michaels, the Red Knights, the Blue Knights, and what man?
The Black Knight?
Yes, Kevin Kelly. Good job.
Thank you.
We can celebrate awesome. Now. All right, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
All right.
Well, there you have it. That's the game.
You did it. You got one, right? See?
See? That was just the ringer at the end. That's to make the stupid kid not feel
so stupid.
To make the
mark come back at the end.
Jesus. I think I got this game now.
You figured it out.
Give me $20 more, honey. Wait a minute. I lost.
We'll do Starcades for December.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Did Dan McGinn have all the answers in front of him?
No. He just knows his answers.
Really?
Those are layups.
I must not be a fan.
Ryan Schmuck could have his hands tied and be shackled in at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, and he would have gotten those right.
Wow. I know a buddy who can name the order of entry of every Royal Rumble.
That's tough. I could do some. I could do some here and there.
Yeah.
But not like and, I can't do every one.
Right. Like you could give him the year, and he could just recite it. Number one, number two, all the way to 30. I don't know if he can do exits. That's harder. But yes.
I can name all the presidents.
I can name all the states.
Come on.
That's about
the Animaniacs could do that.
Right. That was a great song.
It was a good song.
That was one of my most favorite shows. They show those on The Hub, which I have now. It's not that, doesn't look that great because it's not in HD, but I love the Animaniacs. I love watching
that
show.
Very smart show.
Very, very good. All right. Well, we're just about out of time, young man. So we'll be back in 2 weeks.
No, we'll have news 3 weeks.
3 weeks. 3 weeks.
The boy's got something to do that week, so we'll be back on the 17th.
I got a big HP party coming up on December 10th.
There you go. Well, it's a good thing we got
very excited. This is where they come correct with the loot. Awesome. It's been a big year. 28% over goal in my first quarter. How about that?
Nice. Very good. People Booyah. Still buying that shit? Printers and stuff?
Man, you're not kidding. They sure do.
Wow.
And they're hopefully going to keep buying more of it. But
yeah.
That's
my order in right now.
That's it. Go. All right. Well, I want to thank Dr. Tom Pritchard for not just being a guest here on the show for the second time, but for being my friend for so many years. It's just great to have him on and to be a part of this. And I hope he can do more stuff here on the Place to Be Nation going forward. We'll figure all of that out. We've got, the next time that we will be together, Final Battle will be in the books, and we'll have wrapped another year for Ring of Honor. So I hope everybody can tune in on pay-per-view Sunday, December 7th. It's on regular old pay-per-view the way God intended. Cable, satellite provider, Sunday night, 8 o'clock. That's how we roll, and we want you to be a part of the show. It's going to be fantastic. Go to ROHWrestling.com for all the updates and everything, but make sure you for everything wrestling included and everything else in your day-to-day lives, it's placetobenation.com, which is one of the best websites I've ever seen, and to be a part of it is even more special. For Dan McGinn, the idiot savant of Survivor Series teams, and our producer, Justin Rosero, I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and we'll see you in December. Next up in 3 weeks here on the Kevin Kelly Show. It's on the Place to Be Nation, as you know, which is at placetobenation.com.
Who's in the egg, Kevin? We'll find out Thursday.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now, and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had the strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with. Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
No, wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.
Juno's in Alaska, and there's Lincoln in Nebraska, and it's Rolly out in North Carolina, and then there's Madison, Wisconsin, and Olympia in Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, and Lansing, Michigan. Here's Honolulu, Hawaii's a joy, Jackson, Mississippi, and Springfield, Illinois, South Carolina with Columbia down the way, and Annapolis and Maryland on Chesapeake Bay. They have wonderful clam chowder. Cheyenne is in Wyoming, and perhaps you make your home in Salt Lake City out in Utah where the buffalo roam. Atlanta's down in Georgia, and there's Bismarck, North Dakota, and you can live in Frankfort in your old Kentucky home. Salem in Oregon, from there we join Little Rock in Arkansas, Iowa's got Des Moines, Sacramento, California, Oklahoma, and its city, Charleston, West Virginia, and Nevada, Carson City. That's all the capitals there are.